And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. Our guest today is Valletta Forsyth-Lill. She was District 14 City Councilwoman from 1997 to 2005. In 2009, Valletta became Executive Director of the Arts District, and under her direction, she added the Wiley Theater, the Winspear Opera House, the City Performance Hall, and expanded Booker T. Washington High School for the Performing Arts. In fact, she built all those buildings by herself, brick by brick. She designed them. She built them. She did everything without any help whatsoever. And she left that position in 2012 when she decided the arts suck. So welcome, Valletta. On Dallas City Council, you headed the Arts Committee and then ran the Arts District. Doesn't that actually make you a gay man?
No. I will say that makes her a Wonder Woman. Which gave me love.
What do you say to David Taffet when he says these things
so,
to you?
So is that your usual introduction, or didn't I quite get it right?
Very close, David.
Very close. Okay.
Yes,
I'm glad I got it. You know, I work on these things very hard on Sunday morning after being up all night. That sometimes you can tell, huh?
Yeah.
You're kind of creeping through my biography. Okay.
So what's been up with you since you left? Well, first of all, let's just go back.
Oh, my gosh. Way back.
Yeah, let's go way, way back. What got you onto the city council, other than votes?
You know, I've always been politically active. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, I grew up in Illinois, and Lincoln was my hero so much that my mother was told by my babysitter I had an unhealthy interest in Mr. Lincoln, which sounded creepy all into itself. But you know, I've always been interested in politics from a very young age, and listened with my grandmother to Kennedy on the radio and those kinds of things. And then when I came to Dallas, my activism actually started in the neighborhood, you know, sort of fighting specifically for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I was a close personal friend of Craig McDaniel, who is Dallas's first openly gay council member, and was part of his team in the beginning when we used to sit in Hector and Craig's living room talking about how do we answer these questions. And this is all the way back, 1992, because mm-hmm. Craig first went on the council in 93. And then Craig, both Lori Palmer, who represented Oaklawn, and Craig appointed me to various committees and boards and commissions, which is a lot of the way that people get on to the council, is hanging around City Hall. So I started as neighborhood activist, moved to a council appointee, and then finally ran for the position.
You know, if anybody's listening and they are interested in one day getting on the council, what should they do?
You know, get active with your council member, whoever your council member is, or one that you actually are, that you like very much. Get involved in campaigns. Get involved in city business. I mean, it's so easy today when you can look online at DallasCityHall.com and find out what's going on at City Hall. What are the issues of the day? And then get involved in campaigns. I mean, we're seeing at a state level a lot of activism with Wendy Davis's campaign, for example. And, you know, people need to be active and they need to vote. And Texas is a low voting state, and it just ticks me off. Mm-hmm. How do we get there?
And especially in city council races. We have some council members that are getting their seats with maybe 1,000 votes.
Oh, there was one with less. Monica. Yeah. Yeah. Less than 1,000.
Because people don't vote.
There was a joke one time, Craig McDaniel, Chris Luna, and I are all at a big event, and there are maybe several thousand people there, and Craig jokingly says to Chris, look, it's more people than elected you. You know, it is true. Both school board members, even fewer than council members, get involved with the city, get involved with a specific council member, support their campaigns. You can be out there knocking on the doors, telling your friends, hosting coffees, whatever it is. And then finally, you might want to be appointed to a board or commission, and the city has many, many boards and commissions, and see which one fits your talent. Obviously, things like park board or plan commission require a lot of hours and frequently go to the people who are closest to the council member. But there are other things that you can start with. Rafael Anchia was my appointee to a tax increment financing district, which is not particularly sexy, but it was his first foray into politics, and then he went on to be a school board member and then a state rep. Mm-hmm. So it's that involvement that I would say, activism, involvement, mm-hmm. commitment, that will get you there.
And what's really amazing to me is that so many council members have vacancies on their boards and commissions, and so many of the boards and commissions require an appointee from each council member.
Exactly. And those appointees, they need to reflect the diversity of the city and the diversity of the district. And you can look online and see who's got an appointment open. There are very few commissions or boards that require that you actually even live in the district that you may be appointed by that council member. So you might be appointed by Tanel Atkins to serve on one. He may need an appointee, and your skill set fits. So don't be afraid and think, oh, I can only be appointed by my council member. You can be appointed by other council members.
You know what we didn't do today?
What?
Pledge drive. It is pledge drive.
It is.
I'm sad that we have to do pledge drive.
I know.
But we do.
If you look at the thermometer, the dollar thermometer there.
We're really close.
We're close. We should make it this weekend. And you can help us push us over the top by calling 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Doc is standing by. Josh is standing by. Chris is standing by. Both of them. We can't help it. He has a split personality. And
believe you me, he has a split personality.
And we're never sure which one of them is here, so I just thank both of them.
Yeah.
972-647-1893. Just like Valletta said, she's never been introduced like that before. There probably isn't another show quite like this one on anywhere else. But it's not just that there's no other one like us, which is surprising because we're kind of the role model for this. We were the first and we're the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show on anywhere in the world. And KNON has stood behind us. KNON came to Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance back before there was a Dallas Voice, which just celebrated its 30th anniversary
yep.
this
mm-hmm.
week.
Congrats, Dallas Voice.
Yeah. But way back then, came to DGLA and said, would you do a show for us? And Bill Nelson stepped up and said, yeah, he'd do one, put a group together, and we've been broadcasting ever since.
Since 1983, mm-hmm. August wow. of 1983.
And right here in Dallas.
Yep.
So you would think cities like maybe San Francisco or New York would have had a gay lesbian show before us, but they didn't. So that's something to brag about.
So one reason to support this station is because this station has supported the gay and lesbian community before any other media outlet did, before there was a Dallas Voice, before anybody was helping the gay and lesbian community, before there were other gay and lesbian shows for them to even model what it would even look like. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. Show KNON that you do want this show to stay on the air, because over the last 2 years, we lost 18 shows that didn't make their pledge goals. 972-647-1893. Call us and help keep Lambda Weekly on the air.
I remember such great stories, too, over the years. One of my favorites was the student at Baylor University, which is my alma mater, Sic 'em Bears, who would drive on Sunday evenings, back when we were on Sundays 8 to 10, to Hillsboro, which is the first place he could get a signal, and he would sit in a parking lot and listen to the show and then drive back to Waco because it was the only LGBT anything mm-hmm. he could access. And the same true, we got tons of letters and emails from folks in East Texas and the mid-cities and all over because that was the thing they had. And we're still on the air. We're mm-hmm. still going. So help us stay on the air for next year as well. 972-647-1893.
And you can also go to KNON.org and find our show and just make sure you give us the credit.
You can say, you know, but Lambda Weekly, and if you can't spell it, just put like LW or that gay
that
show.
That gay show or something. I mean,
because they won't credit it to the other gay show.
They'll right. find it. Well, there used to be more than one gay show on here.
They did. So 972-647-1893. Operators are standing by. That's the other difference between pledging here and that other station. We actually take the pledges here. You're not calling out of town to some call center.
No.
972-647-1893. See, we care about your money personally.
So if you want to talk to David on the phone, give us a call.
972-647-1893. Our guest today is Valletta Lill. She was District 14 city council person from 1997 to 2005. Yeah. 8 years. Term limited out. Finally.
Right.
Did you miss it, Valletta?
Then a couple of years later.
I don't really miss it. I continue to be interested in politics, but I feel like I served and it's...
You did your time.
I've done my time.
It's a lot of work.
And I get to watch it from afar today.
It's a lot of work.
It is an enormous amount of work.
And anything that goes wrong in the city, it's your fault.
You know, people are much kinder than you think. And people think, oh, did people call you late at night or, you know, yell at you or whatever? Really, not that much. But they do feel that they personally own their council member, mm-hmm. more so than, you know, they were happy to press your back up against the freezer and talk about their potholes as opposed mm-hmm. to their U.S. senator, for example. But they feel a little bit closer to you in that sense, or that you are more approachable in that way.
Well, because you are local, they see you around.
Exactly.
And it's problems that really affect people on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly. They're the problems of, you know, it's one thing when you're looking at the federal government and some programs seem very far away from you. But when you're talking locally and it's your streets, your potholes, the zoning case mm-hmm. next to your neighborhood or in your neighborhood, or quite frankly, do the police respond appropriately? Mm-hmm. Can you go to your library? Is there a good arts program? All those things are very personal mm-hmm. to folks. And so that's a reason to be engaged with your local representative.
It's shocking to me how many people don't even know who their council member is, who live in the city of Dallas or any city that they live in. They don't know who their council member is.
Even people that you think are very sophisticated, and you say, who's your
state rep,
congressperson, you know. Mm-hmm.
They don't know.
They don't know, and you're sort of, oh my.
Well, I remember the joy and the elation that came in 2002 when Laura Miller was mayor, and you and Ed Oakley. And John Loza and Elba Garcia joined with her, and you made something happen in Dallas for our community that hadn't even been done in New York City at the time.
And is just being done in Houston now.
And it's just being done in Houston now. Exactly. That vote's in play right now. Can you tell us a little bit about that wonderful day in May, 2002?
It seems so long ago.
It's been 12 years.
Yeah. And when most recently, when we went before the council.
Oh, exactly.
The most recent resolution, Matt. You know, it's been in increments of almost 10 years. It was 20 years ago that the council passed the non-discrimination related to their city employees, or more than 20 years. And I was in the audience. It just makes me feel old. I was in the audience.
I was too. So, yeah. We're just as old.
We're just as old. Then going back in 2002, when we worked on the non-discrimination ordinance related to housing, accommodations, and so forth. And you're right. You know, when you work on those things and you can't look at other ordinances and other templates and other guidelines, it makes it a little more difficult.
It is more difficult, yeah.
It makes it more difficult. Are you getting it right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is also the reason to come back and revisit things a little later, mm-hmm. which I'm glad the resolution most recently passed, because we can continue to march forward.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting back in 2002 how few people came forward to testify against doing this.
Especially if you saw what went on in San Antonio with their non-discrimination ordinance last year. That was disgusting. And this year in Houston, it's not as bad, but there were a few doozies.
Yeah, there were people coming down and testifying, and the attorney general was making comments related to this. And when we were doing it, I think we had one testify against it who was sort of fringe, and everybody went.
We talked about it last week, Flip Benham. Because the Benham brothers are in the news.
And fringe for a lot of reasons.
Right.
Beyond this.
Yeah.
But we also had Don Carty, who at that time was CEO of American Airlines, came to testify. A woman, and I cannot remember her last name, Ellen, who was with Blockbuster that existed then, and was a high-level C executive, came down and testified. So we were seeing, we had faith-based leaders, we had business leaders, we had the community coming down and testifying, and it actually went fairly smooth, and two people on the council
voted
against it, and you know, some things never change, I guess you can say. But it is amazing to see that many years later.
It's worse. Yeah.
And I'm not sure why.
What's interesting in Houston, it is so contentious. One pastor got up and she said, well, there should be a religious exemption that I shouldn't have to serve you if it's against my religious beliefs. So Ellen Cohen, who's a Jewish council person down there, used to be in the legislature, she said, no, wait a minute. Are you saying that if you don't like my Jewish beliefs, you should be able to not serve me? And they went around a couple of times, and finally she said, well, yes, of course that's what I'm saying. I shouldn't have to, but that's not the issue here. And Ellen Cohen just kind of looked at her and said, That's exactly what the issue is. This is a non-discrimination ordinance that covers lots of things.
Right. So, it's being added along with...
Oh, theirs isn't just being added. They have none at all. Ooh. Oh, they don't protect anything right now on a city level. But yeah, we were adding. We were adding.
Mm-hmm.
They were creating.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to take a break.
Okay.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Our guest is Valetta Lill, former city council person and executive director of the Arts District. We'll be back with more. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. It is pledge drive today, so give us a call, 972-647-1893. We are trying to finish up pledge drive by the end of the weekend, and we should be able to, unless we don't get your help. 972-647-1893.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
KNON depends on listener support, and now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. If you like what you are hearing and want to show appreciation for your community radio station, then pick up the phone and call to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to knon.org. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to knon.org. KNON thanks you for your support.
This is Janice McCall from TCU, and I listen to the Lambda Week on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And you are listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, with LaRon Landis, and former city councilwoman Valetta Lill. It is pledge drive. I do want to remind people, give us a call. Josh is standing by to answer the phones, 972-647-1893. You know, a $40 pledge makes a huge difference here. Gets you a T-shirt, gets us advertising, because that's the basic way we advertise is with our T-shirts. We don't pay for big, expensive billboards on the highway.
Nor do we pay for big salaries.
You don't get paid?
No.
Oh,
we don't even have little salaries.
No. Yeah. I mean, we all volunteer, do this out of the goodness of our hearts.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
When I first started, it was $50 per official meeting, so it's pretty much the same.
Wow.
We don't even get that. So, I couldn't afford the gas last week, so I had to walk to the station. Oh, no, my car was not that's working. Right. That's what it was. 972-647-1893. We are going to do something we haven't done in a while. We're going to play Who Wants to Be a Lesbian? Are you ready?
I just want to remind you, I pledged.
Before we play,
extra bonus points going.
Who are some of our past winners?
Oh, we've had quite a few. We've had Mayor Laura Miller, who hung her certificate in her office when she was mayor. Mm-hmm. It's an honorary lesbian. And Harriet Earhart. Mm-hmm. We've had several others that we Sally O'Connor, I remember, and Anne Faye had played.
So Valletta, you'll be in good company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me give you the rules. It's time to play Who Wants to Be a Lesbian, and just how well does Valletta know Dallas and Dallas City government? You get 113 points for every question you get right, 137 points for every question about straight people you get wrong. You have three lifelines. You can phone a friend, you can ask a host, or you can do a 50-50. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. Yes.
LaRon is keeping score.
I am so scared.
No. Okay.
Okay.
We'll start with the gay male question. This has to do with the Arts District, with the Winspear Opera House. You should be able to do this one.
Okay.
Which one of these gay icons has not performed at the Winspear Opera House? Diana Ross, Barbara Streisand, Bernadette Peters, or Kristen Chenoweth?
Barbara hasn't.
Would you say she's right?
I would say she's right.
Yeah,
I would say she's right.
You got it. Okay, so.
Tell me the points again, David.
113 points for that.
Okay. All
right. And for a special answer, you can give 95 bonus points if you'd like.
I'm trying to think. I'm like, oh my God, did I not get tickets? You know?
Okay, Lynn Scherr, who wrote a new biography of lesbian astronaut Sally Ride and will be our guest in a few weeks, is best known as an anchor on ABC's 1010, 2020, 3030, or Modern Family.
Long shot, 2020.
Doing well. Okay, now this could be a toughie because the pressure's there.
Right.
Can you name the last five straight Dallas mayors?
Shall we start with Mr. Rawlings?
Okay.
Tom Leppert.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Bartlett.
Okay, but you actually missed one. But I think
we can give her a pass. It was actually Dwayne Carraway. He was an acting mayor.
Sorry. Well, in that case, I missed Mary Poss as well.
Oh, that's right.
We missed Mary Poss.
So we'll
give
it to her.
Okay. So, yeah. Woo! Bonus for Mary Poss.
You go.
Although we did say straight. Okay. Which one of these streets was never a mayor of Dallas? Okay. Which street was never a mayor of Dallas? Got it?
Okay.
Woodall Rogers, R.L. Thornton, Henry Irvey, or Siddar Springs.
I like
Siddar
that. Siddar
Springs.
I think he was an activist, but not maybe mayor.
Not mayor. Right. Siddar.
I thought it was
like
Siddar
that.
Springs.
Cesar
no.
Springs. Did I get that one wrong?
Yes.
Cesar Springs was the mayor.
Yeah, I think that's
right. Yeah, Woodall Rogers was mayor from 1939 to 1947. R.L. Thornton from 53 to 61, and Irvey was mayor in 1870 for 2 years.
We had good streets.
Before cars. Everybody has to have their horse now anyway, so.
Okay, question number six. Two more questions. Question number six. I guess I have to ask the question. I was giving the answer already. I'm reading it upside down. Who in the hell is Harry Hines and why does he have a boulevard named after him? A, he was chairman of the Texas Highway Commission who built the first highways in this part of the state. B, Harry Hines manufactured ketchup. C, he built the first lesbian bar in Dallas. Or D, he manufactured women's hose. Nothing beats a great pair of Hines.
He You know, there are other jokes in there when we're talking Harry Hines, but I'm going to go.
Totally. Totally. I wasn't going to say anything, though.
I'm going to go to A.
He was. He was chairman of the Texas Highway Commission, like back in 1936, I think it was.
Woo! Something like that. This is a good learning tool, David. I like this.
Who was the first lesbian mayor in Texas? A. Laura Miller. B. Adlene Harrison. C. Donna Bloomer. D. Anise Parker. Or E. Mike Rawlings.
If we're going to go on technicalities here.
Okay.
Laura Miller was the first honorary lesbian.
She was.
Mayor.
That's true.
And
she
Anise
was.
Parker was the first real
bonafide lesbian. Bonafide
lesbian.
Bonafide lesbian. Yeah. Very good. Got them all. What's the score?
It is.
And I got bonus points, too.
That's true. Hold on.
Laron is busy on his tablet figuring this. You know, on Jeopardy, they just add them like this.
Yeah,
how come that doesn't work that way?
773 points.
773. I think that wins.
I think it totally
congratulations.
Wins.
You're an honorary
you.
Lesbian.
Woo! My husband will be so proud of my certificate.
He will be. He will be. He will be. It's suitable for framing. And oh, we have it.
And we do. And okay. After the show, we'll sign it, but we'll have...
Oh.
It's a
I
certificate.
And my name is spelled right. I mean, that's the greatest flattery of all.
What's the hard part, Lil?
You'd be shocked.
I'd be surprised, yeah. Okay. You are
Hill,
listening.
Hill. No. Yeah. No, Lil. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You are listening to Lambda Weekly or Who Wants to Be a Lesbian on 89.3 KNON FM. It is pledge drive today, and we need that phone to be ringing because the station not just looks at dollar amount, but they also look at number of calls that we get in and number of pledges. So we like to show that we have some good broad based support. 972-647-1893.
Again, that's 972-647-1893. We still have all of the favorite premiums that we know you love. We still have the hat, still have the t-shirts. We do have those aprons.
The KNON barbecue apron.
That's right. You
summer's
gotta have
coming.
Those.
You're getting your grill out. You got to go with the apron. Personally, it's my favorite
I'm
item.
I'm going to go with the apron.
And you know,
the
we also
I'm going to Pitmasters this afternoon.
Oh.
O'clock. So I got to have an apron.
Yeah, got to have an apron.
And we have another cool item that I didn't know realize till last week. We have the sunglasses. They're like Ray-Bans. So you got to get those.
And the KNON blue bonnet t-shirt is back. I'm wearing one from last year.
Yes, you are.
So anyone watching on YouTube can see it. But it's back.
No, they can't because the cameras, they can't see you over the counter.
Oh, sure they can. I may be short, but they can see my shirt.
I may be late.
I may be late, but my shirt's here. But we have the KNON blue bonnet t-shirt in sizes up to 5XL. So you can get that. And there's also a ladies that's a Heather Gray with the full design, too. Mm-hmm. So... those are both for a $50 pledge. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. Notice the 893 at the end. It's kind of like 89.3.
But don't dial the point.
Right, don't dial the point. But if you're driving, you can help remember it. Because we're going to say it enough that you could just dial the number when you park. 972-647-1893. Or online.
And you can go online, KNON.org. Go to the upper left-hand corner. There's a Pledge Now button. And all we need is your name, your address, how you're going to pay, and what show you're pledging to.
Right.
One of the other things that we love to ask people to do, and several of us do this, is to do a monthly draft.
That's right.
The words aren't coming out of the mouth.
You can spread your pledge out over... months. You don't have to do it all at once if you don't want to with the monthly draft.
And all you have to do is just give us a shout, give us a way to contact you, preferably by phone, and our station manager will give you a shout and walk through setting it up. But it's a great way to give. Think about that Starbucks coffee or whatever that you might be able to give up every month and give $10 a month. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a big difference here at the station because when we go to budget for all of our rent and everything we have to do for the, you know, for the radio tower and all of that, then they can plan. And we're getting X amount in every month because you support the station every month. So it's a great way to give. It's easy to do. It's not a lot that you'll miss. So give $10, $20 a month. It's a great way to support Lambda Weekly and KNON. Mm-hmm.
And if you listen online, the station spends a little bit over $200 a month just on our streaming fees. It's not a whole lot of money, but your donation, but you know, it does add up. And your donation could pay for a month of streaming or half of the month of streaming.
Mm-hmm.
The donations you're making really make that big a difference here. We're not paying for anything big and fancy, and you know, we didn't build a big $1 million station right off of Harry Hines Boulevard. We did not. What? People are looking at me like I'm saying something terrible about K blah, 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 and I wouldn't. But we didn't do that. Your money goes directly to the operation of the station, the tower rent, the phone line to get the signal from here to the tower, the electricity bill. That's all you're paying for when you make a donation here. It really goes to making the station run.
And some of those needs are really basic, like our mics. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the mics go out. Well, yeah, we need money to replace them.
Or sometimes they get stolen, like the time we came in and there were no mics
right.
in the studio.
Absolutely.
Which makes doing a talk show real difficult.
Exactly.
Luckily, there were some records out, not CDs. There were records out, and there was a needle in the record player. That's what we did for an hour, because we didn't have mics.
Right.
Anyway, give us a call. It's not that bad right now. Yes, it is. It's just we're desperate.
We're functional, but we're no longer in the crack house in Elvis Dallas, which has been raised with a Z.
I actually like that house, though, from a historic perspective.
Yeah, but you didn't
too.
See what we did to it. It was unusable by the time we moved out.
Yeah, it was a prayer just walking up the stairs.
Like the time we were on the air and somebody came in and set the bathroom on fire under the studio. It really was not a usable building by the time we left.
But I miss the pigeons.
I miss the pigeons.
You know, it was a great place. Yeah. And when Laura Miller came to the show, with all the TV cameras trailed behind her, and the studio itself,
mud out back,
right in her 4-inch heels, and made an exclamation as she got out of her car. But
Laura was famous for her F words.
Yes,
I'm sure if she would have said something about that.
Exactly.
She did.
Exactly. And then all the cameras came up behind her, and we were like the size of a matchbook in there with graffiti on every wall. But we did the show, you know, so we're in much
and
better digs now.
There were other important organizations in that building, too. There were sort of
Acorn and
Acorn
some of the others.
Yeah. The
well, let's talk about go from a really bad looking building to some great buildings.
Mm-hmm. The ones that Valletta designed.
The Valletta design.
You didn't know about my Pritzker Prize?
Yeah.
I did. I was just going to mention.
So if you could talk a little bit about what inspired you to, why are you so passionate about getting the Arts District up and running? Have other cities inspired you to do so? Or?
Well, other cities do inspire me, and I travel a lot, and I'm fortunate to be married to an airline pilot, so that's a possibility for us. And I look at other cities, you know, I come home and I have pictures of buildings. You know, some people have, you know, them standing in front of the Eiffel Tower or whatever. I take pictures of small churches or museums or whatever it is. So other cities do inspire me. But the interesting thing about the Arts District is it goes back, the belief in the design, so to speak, go back to the late 70s when Dallas was trying to revitalize its downtown, when people were exiting to do suburban malls and those kinds of things. And some visionary folks really felt that folks wanted to pull together a number of the arts institutions. And a designer out of Boston, Carr Lynch is the company, made the decision or the recommendation to Dallas that they co-locate their arts into the corner, northeast corner of downtown, largely because it was easy to access. And there was sort of interesting mix of, there were some older historic buildings there, the cathedral being one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, many of you may remember there were a couple of gay bars down there.
Where art museum is.
Where the Dallas Museum of Art stands today.
The old plantation.
The old plantation, indeed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was decided that might be a good place to do it. Largely because, as I said, easy access, and because...
And there was land available there.
And it was cheap land,
there were
land,
car lots
frankly.
And parking lots.
Yeah, and if you look at those pictures, there were, you know, as you said, parking lots, a dairy processing plant was where...
I forgot about that.
If you remember where the Meyerson stands today. And so others really had the vision. I felt it was part of the execution, if you will. I feel great cities are supporters of the arts, large institutions and small. It's part of our infrastructure. You should have streets, you should have libraries, you should have parks, and you should have the arts. And it's not just, I feel as passionately about building the arts district as I do about the Latino Cultural Center, which I worked on, the Bathhouse Cultural Center, the South Dallas Cultural Center. Those are reflective of Dallas, and they're organic. I listened to the last hour, and you mentioned Lisa Loeb. We've got a lot of folks here that came up through music or through the arts who are important to our history. And I felt it was important for us to sort of have this place downtown, and it's kind of the mothership, if you will, but the other places are important as well. I like knitting cities together. What big cities should look like? And it's the big things and the small things. It wasn't always easy. The City Performance Hall, which is all paid for by your tax dollars. People said it would never be built. People said the little groups wouldn't be able to perform in there. They said it wouldn't sound good. They said it wouldn't look good. Mm-hmm. It sounds good. It looks good. Big and small groups are performing in there, and it's an important institution for the city. So I hope that people get behind arts institutions and what they give to our city and how they reflect in our city.
You know what I've always that's a great story, and what I always hated about that, in as far as in Texas anyway, in high school, we always had the school budget would just pour money in. Money into the sports program.
Right.
But the arts, which I was part of, we had to go out and, like, fundraise. Right. Literally knock on doors or have car washes or whatever to pay for the instruments or to pay for the costumes whenever we did a play or whatever. And you see that kind of same thing in real life in the city.
Exactly.
We will pour billions of dollars into getting the fanciest stadium up. But somebody did a concert hall or something, we don't have the money.
Well, if you even compare you look at the Winspear Opera House and the Wiley Theater in comparison to Cowboy Stadium, 95% of the AT&T Performing Arts Center is private money. It's not public money. And frequently you hear folks say, oh, well, donations will go to pay for that. And you're starting to see that shift even with libraries. Mm-hmm. No, it's the responsibility in these cases for the city to be a part of that. And so you're right. You see, we'll build a stadium, but we may not want to pay for building an arts institution, large or small, quite frankly. The other thing is we'll pay a sports star, and then we ask our artists who are of great talent to come out in a lot of cases and go, oh, will you come perform for free?
Hence the term starving artist.
Right.
Term starving artist. Will you give your services? You wouldn't really ask Dirk to do that, would you?
No.
Would you come to the
game?
And
that's what we need to do. We're going to ask the Dallas Cowboys to do a game for us for free, donate all the proceeds, KNON will be fine.
KNON would be great.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON depends on listener support, and now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. If you like what you're hearing and want to show appreciation for your community radio station, then pick up the phone and call to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to KNON.org. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to KNON.org.
This is Jason Wright from Dallas, and I listen to Lambda Week 89.3 KNON.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Lauren Landis. And our guest today is Valletta Lill,
Honorary lesbian.
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. She's whispering. Honorary lesbian Valletta Lill.
She's the honorable honorary lesbian Valletta Forsyth Lill.
Now, that's a title.
Because if you missed it, you have to go to the podcast. It will be available later this week. She did win Who Wants to Be a Lesbian.
Handily, I might ask.
Yes.
With bonus points.
She even corrected us.
Yes, she did.
With bonus points.
So you go.
It is Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 972-647-1893, because nowhere else in the state of Texas do they play Who Wants to Be a Lesbian on the air.
This is true. I would dare say.
I would dare say anywhere else in the country.
I've seen a lot of firsts here today. Or heard a lot of firsts here today.
Yeah, we have a 5-page list of why to listen to KNON and why to donate. That one's not on there.
It's not on there, and it needs to be.
Because, you know.
The only place you're going to get that kind of entertainment.
You know, one of the things we always say, it's all live and it's all local. And that really does describe KNON, because everything about this station, it is all local, locally programmed. We don't have programmers coming in from the East and West Coast telling us what we should play and what we should talk about. Can you imagine if somebody told us what we should talk about? You know, talk about a train wreck. But we do our own programming. We schedule our own guests. And, you know, we've been begging Valletta to come on since she was on the council. She finally got here.
She's been a busy woman.
She's been busy.
She has been. 972-647-1893.
Valletta, is the Arts District, do you think, done as far as building?
No. I say to people, we're about 35 years into a 50-year plan. Mm-hmm. There's a building being built on top of Stonehenge today. Mm-hmm. And when I refer to Stonehenge, I was referring to what was the shell of a parking lot, mm-hmm. which was across from the Meyerson. That's being built.
What is that going to be?
That's going to be offices, restaurants, so forth. It's Craig Hall. Yeah. And later he'll build condos next to it, and he's going to do a Texas sculpture garden there. And there's going to be affordable housing sort of between the Meyerson and the Nasher.
Oh, okay. That's a parking lot right now.
That's a parking lot right now, and that will be, he'll probably start in about August, mm-hmm. break ground on that. And that'll be artist housing, which will be the first true artist housing in that area.
That's one of the things that I've really felt has been missing from that area. We bring in and, you know, have local companies that do all kinds of performing, but there's no real art going on down there. One of the things I thought of was old Dallas High School.
Yes.
Is taking that over and turning it into a couple of galleries and living space for artists and workspace, studio space, really bring the, you know, working art into the Arts District.
And that's right. And I did stand in front of the bulldozer, literally, for that particular building. Mm-hmm. But we need to have more local in our Arts District, mm-hmm. if you will. And they're about 11 acres across Ross, mm-hmm. from the sort of backside of
the City Performance Hall.
They're about 11 acres there. So there are more opportunities. You need a mix and a blend, mm-hmm. and all of those things. And to put more, you need more feet on the street down there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to build those buildings in order to have those feet on the street. Mm-hmm. And to have those local artists there creating art, mm-hmm. is a good thing. To have it, if we could get it into Dallas High School, be a good thing. You know, I love things like the Salmon Center for the Arts, mm-hmm. which are incubators certainly for small performing arts groups. We need a second one. Is there a place in downtown? The old Dallas High School.
Old Dallas High School, perfect.
Would
place
be perfect for that, for that kind of thing, where you do an incubator, mm-hmm. and these groups can, you know, Turtle Creek Chorale, mm-hmm. has been in there, Shakespeare Dallas, Salmon's Jazz, all those in Salmon's One. If we can do Salmon's Two, mm-hmm. it creates an energy,
mm-hmm.
both in the neighborhood and in the building, quite frankly,
mm-hmm.
And then creates greater energy on the street. You know, the wonderful thing in the Arts District, really, and my favorite thing, is Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Booker T is glorious.
If you have never sort of been in there when the kids are doing their thing,
mm-hmm.
walking those halls, doing their art. It really is the most amazing energy and excitement that you can find in Dallas. And they just do it sort of, you know, they'll just start singing their song or whatever. But they're energetic, they're passionate, they're smart, they're skilled. They spill into the street.
I asked a couple of gay kids who go to that school, you know, gay straight alliances are popping up in every high school in this city. I spoke at Brian Adams. They have more than 100 kids in their gay straight alliance.
But Christy has
wonderful.
One.
Well, they have a small one. And I asked a couple of the kids, how come you don't have a real dynamic gay straight alliance? They said, the whole school's a gay straight alliance.
That's awesome, though.
But it's great because that's one school that's beyond that. It's really in that school. Oh, we don't need that.
Well, I went to speak with them one time through their Gay Straight Alliance, and you walk in the building and you feel a mix of this vibrant importance, and there was a level of professionalism too that I thought was really interesting for a high school, you know, like an inner city high school kind of thing.
Five presidential scholars.
Yes, I mean these kids are so smart and they're good at what they do.
Grammy High. Call it Grammy High.
Yeah, it was just a phenomenal place, and that's the place where we need to talk about Incubate. You know, those are local kids that are.
And then they get the benefit of when Stephen Sondheim is in town.
He stops in,
and he goes over and talks to the kids, professional to professional, and then they get to go over and perform on stage at Dallas Black Dance Theater or at the Bruce Wood Dance Project or something, or they're over working with Dallas Theater Center. So it's a very integrated model in terms of them being in those institutions and working with them. Some of them, you know, are involved with the symphony, others involved with the DMA. So everybody's definitely very engaged with all the institutions. That energy, and then you bump that up with artist housing, and you keep incrementally creating more artists' housing and living space and workspace and education space in that area. And it's just a great vibe.
And the other part, of course, that has really made that area much more dynamic is the Deck Park.
The Deck Park, you know, if you look back, and I feel each of these children particularly close to them, you know, everything that's gone on in Uptown, everything that's gone on down Main Street Garden, gone on in Main Street, the Deck Park has created, you know, I changed the laws related to food trucks back in 2011, which only took 18 months of slogging through city bureaucracy, but it made it. But all of that, that knitting together of the physical infrastructure and then everything that you have going on in Uptown and the trolleys going to extend and you see the tracks being built now. Some of them are already in place, like by the Nasher Sculpture Center. But they're also being built and extended over on St. Paul. So you'll be able to, you know, have drinks someplace in Uptown and then ride the trolley down. And then maybe stop at the Nasher, then maybe go on to the train, go north, go south. You know, you're going to have you're going to have a streetcar that's going down to Oak Cliff. It's the in-between spaces that we are now filling in, and the Deck Park, Clyde Warren Park, is a sterling example of that. I hate to use the word sterling these days because it has a negative connotation. But is an excellent example of knitting together the infrastructure and the city, and that's what we need to be doing.
Do you find that there's a competition between just the energy and getting people in downtown Dallas opposed to all of the outside, like City Place, what's that on Mockingbird?
Mockingbird Station.
Because that's where a lot of people congregate, and it seems like there still is. People don't know that there are things going on in downtown Dallas now.
Yeah, we're still educating people about what's going on. Homegrown Festival was last weekend. I mean, what could be more wonderful than sitting out under the stars, looking at the Statler, that beautiful building that is the old City Hall, the Beaux-Arts building from the early 1900s. So we're still educating people about that, and we're still building living spaces down there.
Yeah, they just announced that the old Hilton is going to become apartments or condos?
Apartments.
It is going to be apartments. Yeah, they're just about to renovate that building.
You know, in 1997, when I went on the council, you know, I cut one of the early ribbons on, I guess it was the Teiches. But there were, the manor house was the only place people lived in downtown. And each one of those has contributed, but it wasn't easy in the beginning clawing through to convince people, oh, tax increment financing district money is important to this. Or quite frankly, why are you saving this historic building? And a lot of people don't, the old Statler Hilton is a perfect example of one of a building that people were like, what? Why are you saving that? And I at one point sat on the National Trust for Historic Preservation Board, and we did the 11 most endangered and called attention to that building. And slowly people started turning around and realizing it. Our competition is really the suburbs. And if you saw today's Dallas Morning News, and they talked about great neighborhoods to live in, and every one of them was Frisco, Plano, Richardson. And I don't have any problem with my neighboring cities. But damn it, shouldn't we be saying on the Dallas in the Dallas Morning News, here are some great inner city neighborhoods, Oakland or Lakewood or Bishop Arts or, you know.
Oh, Lake Highlands.
I mean, there are dozens of these very interesting neighborhoods in our inner city.
Yeah.
And I would like, we need to do more promotion of that. And that includes our only daily.
Well, I have to say, in the years that I've lived here, and I've been here over 25 years now, I have seen the downtown area just blossom.
Right.
I mean, it's been a joy to watch. And one of the things that I really love, and Aaron and I love to do together, is to take the DART rail from the White Rock Station all the way to, say, Pearl. Get off at Pearl and go to an
Pearl
event.
Pearl Arts District Station.
I
worked on changing that name.
I'm going to call it the Arts District. Just Pearl Station.
Yep, for years, there was no sign there.
No.
For people who didn't know.
I think I did it in 2012.
Yeah.
Was like 2 years
If you need signs, that's, you know, that's one that would help.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, what a wonderful thing. There's so many places to eat in the evening. Mm-hmm. There's that Arts One and... You know, you can go have a really great evening. Let's go have a dinner and stuff before we go to our show. And
I remind people there are free things you can do down there.
Oh, absolutely.
And I want, in fact, the Arts District in June, it's probably June 20th or right around there. It's that third Friday in June. We'll be doing their block party. And all the museums are open till midnight, and you can go down and listen to bands and see movies and eat at a food truck, and it's all free, you know, the food from the food trucks. But everything else is free. And so I want to remind folks there's plenty of free to go down and listen to bands at Clyde Warren Park or outside the Winspear Opera House on Thursday nights.
Yeah, and what was funny was about 1980 when they announced that they were going to move the art museum from Fair Park, and it was in a tiny little facility, and build this huge new museum that's only half the size it is now. Everybody said, what are they going to put in there? We don't have any art. And it was, it'll come. And, well, they didn't have much of a collection, but the donations started pouring in to the point where they had to double the size of the museum within 10 years.
Exactly.
So, which is why, you know, I say, okay, it's not finished being built. I mean, we have four theaters.
Well, and City Performance Hall will have black box theaters. I mean, in its second phase, it'll have education facilities, black box theater. So you'll have one more arts facility, if you will. But then these other things that I'm talking about, living space, artist housing, all that.
Oh, I bet additional theaters will be built downtown, too.
Yeah, they will.
I'm not saying over the next few years, not even this phase, but of course they will.
Yeah.
You know, on the first floor of some of the office buildings, on,
exactly.
You know, they'll take some of that space and really do some creative things to it, because that's what's drawing people to that part of the city.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, Valletta, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so
much.
I just
want to say a special thank you to you for all of your support of our community over the years. What an advocate. I mean, when I tell people, we interview potential candidates for city council and stuff, I'm like, that's what I call an advocate. It was Valletta Lil's the mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you really are, and you're still going. You were, you know, call Valletta and go, help us with this equality resolution. You were there doing all kinds of stuff.
I am there for you.
Yeah, and you get it. You get the whole thing, you know?
Let's
you really
do. There comes a day we don't need advocates. We're just, like, we don't need an alliance at Booker T.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We move
right
to
right.
a point where we don't...
We don't need that.
We don't need to right. do that.
And a point where we don't need this show so we can retire?
No, it'll be a nostalgia show.
Oh, okay. We'll find something. Imagine, the three of us will find something to talk about. I just want to put in one more plug. It is Pledge Drive this week, so give us a call, 972-647-1893, or just go online now, Pledge Online,
97 or KNON.org.
Thank you. I can't think straight. But you knew that.
Okay.
We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly, and we'll see you then. Thank you, Valletta.
Thanks.
Thank you.